Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I thought our defense was really good the first half and got out of position. And then as the half went on, they got some shots. They just couldn't make any. And we were able to get our offense going. And that was the difference. The second half, they made some shots, and, it's an even game. So it was just a matter of a little better defense in the first half, and then when they got some open shots, they just couldn't make them. We made some shots, made some big shots early, but I thought, our offense was good, movement was good. I thought it was a good opportunity for Howard to get something done. Bryson has had a lot of trouble with that nose and the face guard, but he made a couple good plays. It was an opportunity to get those guys a little time. We're certainly better, much better, than we were in the beginning of the year. We still, I think our progress has been held up a little bit with a couple of the injuries, but it's just what it is. We just have to keep working at it. But I think we're a little better, but we're not where we need to be. Jesse still tries to dribble the ball and put it down. He gets a rebound. The guy takes it away from him. You can't do that. You can't do those things. It's not about how good you are. You can't do those things in play. Those are things you can't do. You get a rebound, you got to be able to keep the rebound and be able to give it to a guard. If you can't do that, you can't play. We played really good in the league. Since their first home game, it's good to win a home game. We have played a little better on the road, but we've played good in the league the last four games, five games, whatever it is. And we just got to keep improving. We're not there, but we're trying to get there. We're trying to get better. We didn't think we'd be going in with a freshman sophomore backcourt, but it's turned out that way. They've acquitted themselves extremely well, and we just have to keep getting better. All right. Thanks.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the first and only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. If you would, please rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. And thank you to all of you who already have done so. We appreciate that. Happy Thursday. So close to
Thirsty
the end of the
Thursday.
Week. Thirsty Thursday. Thirsty Wednesday, Thirsty Tuesday, Thirsty
no,
Monday.
Dude, just days that end in Y.
Okay, I'm staying corrected. Hey, real quick, we don't really have anything else to talk about but the game. And what a great game. What a great game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm satisfied. You satisfied, Joe?
Yeah, I'm okay. Glad we didn't have to get into that cardiac cues situation. Yes. I got to go to bed early without your
being ramped up, your nerves being ramped up. Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, usually it's cardiac cues. You watch the game and then it takes an hour or two just
morning.
For you to get your blood pressure back down, right?
Exactly. So. The pregame post that we do with the scouting report and predictions, I was just going through the website that we use. I just realized it has stats to it. So I know how many are coming out of New York, and they're mostly coming out of New York, which is great, but they go from New York to California, but they mostly come out of New York, which is awesome. But what I was scrolling through, and I just thought I'd mention it because I thought it was funny, but Canada has a few. There's a handful in Ireland, believe it or not.
that are hitting the website or at least clicking on the links. And then a bunch in Slovakia. So.
Love it.
That's pretty cool, right?
No, that's Mark. That's Dolzai territory right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's great. So anyway, the Orange, they string together a couple wins, improving to 10-7. And 3-3, we're back to 500 in the ACC as they ground the Eagles 75-50, or what was it, 76-50?
Yep.
76-50. and then, we'll talk about that, and then Syracuse will head back to Virginia again to take on Virginia Tech, this time at their home court, for the second time in 11 days. So it should be interesting. We kind of know what we got there. So we'll hit that up a little bit different the second time around. But before we get into all of that stuff, as per the usual, got to hear from the good folks over at MyBookie. Now listen, if you have bet online before and you know what to expect, I urge you to go to MyBookie. If you have not, research it, see if it's right for you. But it doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes all that come to play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. Do yourself a favor. Sign up at MyBookie.ag. If you still got questions, their patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join now, you'll still have time to get in on the 50% match offer. So, or the 100% match offer, which is dollar for dollar, up to $1,000. To join, go to mybookie.ag, make your first deposit using the promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar, like I just mentioned, to jumpstart your bankroll. And so, you know, try it out, see if it's right for you. There's plenty of stuff on there. You don't have to just bet on sports. It goes for days. See, I mean, you can bet on wrestling, which is, I don't know if wrestling is an official sport because it's rigged. Can that be a sport if it's rigged, Joe?
Easy.
I don't know.
I'm not saying I'm a fan. I'm just saying.
Is that like
you can rile a fan?
I know. I know. That's not like pulling the beard off of Santa Claus, is it? I hope not.
I don't even know the age group of people that listen to us. What are you doing?
All right. I'm sorry. So log on to mybookie.ag. Make your first deposit. Use the promo code CHAIR. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart that bankroll. Thank you to MyBookie. .ag. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, well.
What are you going to tell me next? The Easter Bunny isn't real?
No, Joe, I would never. That's absurd. I would never.
Okay, thank you.
All right, it's time to get into it. Despite the slow start, Buddy Boeheim single-handedly outscored BC in the first half, 15-13. 15-13. Yes, that's right. Boston College scored 13 points in the first half. They couldn't hit anything from distance. I think they went to 0 for 14 from behind the arc in the first 20 minutes, and they'd go on to score 37 more in the second half, but they would never become a serious threat, although it was consistently, you know, but we did throw in a bunch, you know, Howard Washington played a bunch and things like that. So, I mean, they couldn't hit the broadside of the barn. The good. I'll start here. 12 for 12 from the line. First time they've hit 100% since they hit 6 for 6 against Miami, Ohio, December 13th, 1997, per Mike Waters on Twitter. And 1997, what a great year. The year I graduated high school. It's great.
Yeah.
So.
Great year.
Great year. ESM. Class of 97, right here, buddy. Buddy Boeheim, 9 for 17 from the field with 22 points, game high. And Syracuse, they shot 51.9% overall, 44.4% from three, and the aforementioned 100% from the free throw line. They won the battle of the boards 36-23, and get this, 24 fast break points and 36 points in the paint. Quad three game, couldn't lose it. That's your good, okay? Really good. The good is really good this week. I think it's the best good we've ever had. The bad, Sidibe. I don't know what it is. Maybe he needs to change up his preparation or something. I thought he'd be a little bit further along than he is. I mean, he has trouble catching the ball. Okay? That's like a basic fundamental in basketball. Yeah. You have to learn how to catch it. You got to learn how to hold on to it. 6 rebounds, a block, and a steal. Not bad. The problem with the steal is I think he gave it right back before he could decide what he was going to do with it. He did hit 100% of his shots from the field, though, maxing out at 2 points. Thankfully, Dolezal was awesome again last night. And if he could play like that all the time, I mean, we've always got a shot. Double-double, 10 points and 11 rebounds. The ugly Boston College, man. I mean, they made this too easy for me. The whole entire team, ugly. They were awful. 32.8%, 20 of 61 from the field, 20% from three, 6 for 30, 50% from the line. Not one player in double digits in any category, anywhere across the box score. 24 fast break points from Syracuse. They stunk in every aspect. So yeah. A combination of a pretty well-played game by Syracuse, but a very, 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 very bad game played by Boston College. And you look at it and you say, how the hell did these guys beat Virginia? No idea.
Other than the fact that they both are just awful at scoring. So I don't even know how they even scored that many points. I definitely expected a better effort from defense. I remember we talked about it and I kind of compared them to the size and the defense of Virginia Tech, which is out the 3-point shooting. Right.
Right.
Well, I think that you saw for the second game in a row, a situation where, I think that we guarded the 3-point line a little bit more than we did against Virginia, but it was kind of very similar. And to go off of, I'm just going to call him out because I don't think he left a comment, but Joe Pasek, you know, he was talking to me and he texted me during the game and said something like, you know, the last couple weeks, it's been looking like more of a 4-4-1 zone than a 2-3 zone, the way that those wings are coming up and helping those guards kind of close out on those shooters and come up and show themselves. But again, it was against the Boston College team that didn't really have a lot of down low, scoring strengths. So I just think that we've made some adjustments on defense and we've been using our strengths versus other people's weaknesses to be able to confuse them on offense. And last night, for sure, it worked.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a slow start for
Syracuse, for both of us, right?
But it absolutely was a slow start for both of us. But when we're going to about a quarter of the way or halfway through the first half, I'm thinking, man, they are missing so many opportunities to get points because you could tell Boston College just wasn't feeling it. And, you know, the crowd was quiet and it was very somber in there. It was very boring to watch. And then all of a sudden, Buddy Boeheim, I think there was a fast break that just sparked something. And from there, I mean, numerous fast breaks and just a beauty to see, some gritty calls, some tough defense, but you know,
Well, Buddy definitely saved us. And again, I get nervous when we get in those situations where the team, especially in the beginning or, you know, really any time, but especially in the beginning when they haven't proven anything, they're missing that they're trying to figure out the zone. And they give us so many opportunities to just jump and get a good lead. And sometimes you're thinking in your head, like, eventually they're going to get it. So I wish that we'd be able to take advantage of some of these bad shots, missed shots, turnovers to be able to get a lead early. So that maybe once Boston College does figure it out, then we'll still have a lead, a nice little gap to be able to play with. But Boston College really never got to figure it out. And if I had to throw a good out there, I would say Buddy Boeheim, and it's not just because of the scoring. I think it was how he did it. I think that he's been labeled just a jump shooter. Can't take it off the dribble, things like that. And you can start to see that he can take it off the dribble. Even Joe Girard, he got stripped pretty clean last night, and we've seen times where he has had those freshman moments where he does get stripped by a pretty good defender. I don't remember seeing Buddy Boeheim, even when he has taken it off the dribble, getting the ball taken from him. And once he gets to that free throw line, then he can create his own shot. And last night he proved that if you're going to come out and play me as a shooter too high, then I'm going to be able to go by you and actually make some layups, right? So if you're not going to guard me, then I'm going to take advantage of it. So he showed some aspects of his game. There's a couple people, some of my coworkers that watched the game and were pretty impressed with him. And we're very surprised that he was actually a sophomore. And they're like, we got to worry about that guy for two more years after this year, right? So, but you can definitely see that his game is off. Offensive game is elevating, and our defense is starting to come together a little bit. So that was definitely definitely encouraging to see, especially considering some of the falls that Elijah Hughes had, right? So
yeah, the one there when you saw him come back, and you know, sometimes guys get on the ground and they just need a second. and, you know, maybe they're catching their breath, or maybe, you know, they're just waiting it out for a minute and you know, waiting for people to come over and help him up. But he was hurting. There's no doubt about it. And when he came
back,
wasn't
he charge.
No, hell no. He stepped over to the left.
He leaned right into him, right? So that was my one thing when I said about Stephon Mitchell. Like, I knew he played like that, and he plays like that. He plays hard. He plays dirty. I don't want to say dirty, but he's...
It's not dirty. He could have... I mean, it was just not a good call, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a little heavy-handed, right? And
a little
bit. There can be some instances where he can... He knows what he's doing, and he can put... Just some of his fouls were hard. There was a couple different instances. Howard Washington got hit by an elbow. We didn't see it. And even...
Dorsey got his eye poked one time.
Yeah. And there was even a couple times in the second half, it's just like, okay, refs, I get it. And I imagine this is probably what Boeheim was probably talking to the refs about. Like, I get that we're up 26, 30 points, but you can't let these guys maul our guys. Like, you still got to keep, you know, you still got to control the game. You cannot let it get out of control, right?
Right. And it's not an official call until the second time it comes up, but the palms up doing this deal. I know no one can see me, but the palms up flop thing, the flop call. Second time it's an issue, but the first time's a warning. So right. Buddy got the warning on a 3-point shot. That was actually a foul. Okay.
It looked like a foul.
The ref was not even looking at Buddy trying to land.
Yeah.
And he called a flop.
Yeah.
Buddy should, the ref was looking at the ball going in the basket. He's the one that calls field goal. So I mean, he wasn't even looking at the landing. And Buddy caught a body. I mean, I got the screenshot, so I put it on social media.
And anyway, sometimes refs are guilty of doing that when there's such a blowout, right? And they just kind of let certain things go. They kind of just coast, mail it in, right?
Well,
and it's just not fair to some of the kids. You know, and at the end of the day, I hope that Elijah's going to be okay and that this doesn't really, like you said, I mean, he banged his knee. He came on down on his ribs, and he came out. He came back in, and he was still hurting.
You could tell he was a little slow, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm glad that he came back in the second half and he definitely hit some jumpers, looked more like himself.
How about the pace of the Syracuse defense pushing the ball up the court and all the points in the paint? I mean, 36 points in the paint, 24 fast break points. That's got to be the most of the season. It has to be.
Well, against the Power 5 team, definitely.
Oh, without a doubt. So, I mean, I guess my question...
But I think that was a lot of the... That's a lot of... Boston College got a little desperate, right? They knew our weaknesses is offensive rebounds, right? And when you're down, you want to crash the boards a little more, which means if we do get one of those long.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Rebounds or something happens, then we could take advantage of things like that. And that's what Boeheim talked about at the end of the game when it came to Virginia, is that you need the long rebounds, the turnovers, the things like that to be able to spark those kind of things. So when you don't get those things, then you're not going to have a lot of fast break points. But
right,
they definitely took advantage of them. I liked how Howard Washington came in and played. He had one bad turnover, got it back with a steal. I liked this, yeah. how Gudine came in, and he showed that he's got a little bit of – I mean, you could see the talent. I mean, yep. that one finish that he had.
Yeah.
That one little reverse finish layup. That he had. Yep, yep. Little pump fake got in the lane. That's kind of some stuff that not too many people other than maybe Elijah Hughes can do on our team. So,
yeah, exactly.
You see the talent there. It's just – and same thing with Guerriere, right? He had a couple good ones too. So you see the talent there, and you just hope that they can still – that there's still time this year to be able to mold into being able to be consistent contributors to get a little bit deeper. Because I know coming into this game, per Syracuse.com, that we had our bench – we have the least amount of bench points in Power 5 major conference. Actually, I think it's in college basketball, to be perfectly honest.
It might be, but that does not bother me.
It bothers me when – because
Here's why, though. They've been in some desperate situations where – where he's just not using them. We just haven't been in a lot of situations, even in and I'm talking non-conference. And we just haven't been in a lot of situations where there was a lot of, you know, opportunities for a coach to put in the bench. And that's why the slow start with the starters to begin with, that's what happens. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
But you see it coming together, though. I mean, you're starting to see it a little bit. I mean, with the past two games.
Yeah, well, there's been times where Boeheim still is going to stick to his rotation to 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever, but there's still guys that can still come in help if need be, right? And that's the one thing that concerns me, is all it takes is an injury.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
Elijah Hughes breaks a rib on that and he's out a couple weeks, then we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
We don't have anybody behind him, right? So at the end of the day, we get any injuries or we get foul trouble, we have no depth to kind of fall back on.
Yep.
And that's what's concerning to me.
All right. Let's hear from you.
time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the loud house.
All right, y'all know what to do. Go to the socials after every game. I will enter and post that. Will prompt your comments, thoughts on the game, and you leave your thought there, and we talk about them. All right, so we're going to do something that I haven't done in a long time. It's because I accidentally forgot to go through these, so this could be fun. I haven't even hardly looked at any of these, except for the ones that came in right away that I was reading as they came in.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, the White Mamba. Okay. Slow start and sloppy at times. And these are a little bit more random than normal, so forgive me.
Right.
Slow start and sloppy at times, but very well played game all around. Good minutes for everyone as well. That's actually perfect to talk about that real quick while we were just getting to that. It's great to get these guys out there. I mean, Nick Giancola played last night.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good night when you have walk-ons come on against the conference foe. So
yeah,
that hasn't happened in a little while. So yeah, to be able to do that, but whether it's Boston College or not, I don't care.
I don't care either. I'd like to see Quincy do a little bit more. I'd like to see him get, you know, he's only going to get the minutes that, you know, coach thinks he can, you know, use him with. But he's got to still show something still. Like I said, consistency with Guerrier. He's done it a couple times in a row, and then he'll go through a slump. So it is what it is. At Logan Wagner 2, this team could easily compete with anyone if we had a solid offensive big. Great win will be in attendance at Virginia Tech. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
tweet at us. Send us some pictures. I'll retweet some good pictures from Virginia Tech.
And they're exactly right. So,
right, yeah. If we had a solid center down there that could push his body around and grab some rebounds.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
I'll tell you what. Kudos for Elijah Hughes for still passing him the ball, because I don't know if I was his teammate if I would have already given up by now. So, and he's probably the only one that can get away with passing him the ball, because everyone else would probably get an earful. So I don't really understand that.
You might be right. But, I mean, what are you going to do when he's open? You give him the opportunity. Maybe it sparks something. Who the hell knows? But I got to be honest. When I see him get the ball passed to him, I get nervous. It makes me nervous.
Oh, I before the ball even comes down, I'm already assuming it's going to be a turnover. So let's...
if not now, when 84, our good buddy Mike... Started off slow, but total domination is the right thing to say. I was thinking hopefully no one gets hurt in this blowout. Yeah, absolutely. Goodine looked pretty good. Jesse did not. Keep it rolling. Go Cuse. Jesse did not, unfortunately. I mean,
look,
you know,
he's five fouls, man. At the end of the day, five fouls. Oh, totally. And he's a freshman, so he has an excuse.
Oh. Sorry.
I'm playing around. Yeah, I guess so. I'm just saying he's a freshman, so he has an excuse, right? And he's only going to be playing if we need him, right?
Yeah.
It's Sidibe, to me, he doesn't have an excuse. I mean, it's his third year, and he still doesn't know how to keep his hands straight up in the air. So I don't even know why he's arguing these calls.
I know. Why did he argue that?
John
Bolajak's on the bench going, bro.
Yeah.
Straight up,
and
bro.
Braswell, straight up, right? He argues like his hands are straight up when it's like at a 45 and it's over, right on dude's head.
He's like bridging over the dude,
right? Like how long do you have to play before? Hey, just straight up, make the shot difficult.
Know,
don't get the foul.
I know it's freaking. But you know, how many minutes? I don't have the minutes. I printed this out too quick. Only three fouls last night, though. It doesn't matter.
No, we didn't need them.
Right, yeah, I know.
We didn't need him. It's the same old song and dance. Doesn't matter how many minutes.
Let's see. At Clancy Cuse, I'll take the W. Got to defend home court. Absolutely. I have been a little bit scared of home court. They haven't played their best there. They've won a couple games on the road, Georgia Tech and UVA.
Yeah.
So sometimes they do that, though. They surprise you in that way, which, you know, I don't know. You got a hell of a home court advantage, but
most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, it's just,
I just think if there's been any years where things have been kind of, you know, there's just been some things that have been up in the air as far as some things on campus, some students protesting games, and, you know, obviously there's random, there's been random bad weather on nights that we have games.
True.
So again, I mean, we've talked about it, and it's not just us that have talked about the fans this year. So who knows if actually this year so far it actually has been.
I feel like the crowd size has definitely been a little smaller. Last night wasn't bad for an evening game in the middle of the week. I thought it was okay.
It was a 6:30 start. Makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Let that be 8. Let that be 8 o'clock start. And then
You're pulling.
We get 75% of what we had, maybe.
Well, you pull about 12,000 if that's the case. I don't know what they pulled last night. And I used to look at those numbers all the time. But anyway, let's see. At GPlat7, this team is starting to click. They are getting it together just in time to meet some formidable opponents. Buddy was the shooting star of this game. The defense should be commended as well for holding BC to 13 points in the first half. Buddy Boeheim is, there was a piece that James Zuba, I think, put out, Noon's Magician, about Buddy Boeheim, and he's statistically one of the best shooters in the country. That, as a sophomore, is awesome. And he's only going to get better. And it's funny to me to still see the calls for, now they're more few and far between now than they were at the beginning of the year, but the calls on social media for Buddy to sit and coach's boy and our coach's son and all this stuff. I mean, that stuff is absurd. It really is starting to get like really absurd. I mean,
no, absolutely. I talked to you that I have I'll bring him up all the time. Mac, he's a diehard part of the Rams club, diehard North Carolina Tar Heel fan. And granted, he's kind of having a down year this year, right? So he's got, you know, a little bit of, but he watched the game. He went home and watched it. And, you know, he said, oh, I'm scouting the orange. Ha ha, you know. But he's like, I'll tell you what, Buddy, he impressed me. And then I said, yeah, well, you know, there's some fans out there that think that he just plays because his dad's the coach. And he goes, yeah, well, if you don't want him, I'll take him.
Yeah.
And that's a UNC fan right there.
If I'm not mistaken, Roy Williams would have. Like, I think he was offered a scholarship.
He was the one that told him during the tournament, I believe it was the Peach Jam, it was an AAU tournament, where he said, your son's, it was after he had gotten a Gonzaga scholarship, and he told him that you should offer your son a scholarship because he's good enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Talented kid, and it's one of those things where I'm just like, barring injuries and things like that, this kid, when he is a senior, is going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, right. And he might not be that top, like, blue chip.
No, maybe not.
You know, going to leave early or go to the NBA. I mean, he might not.
He's going to draw a lot of attention from defenses, to say the least.
But at the end of the day, he's got a defense, or he's got an NBA shot, and he is going to be a great, probably already is a good to great college basketball player, especially on offense. So
absolutely, and
let's get rid of this nepotism bull crap.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's sports, not politics.
Yeah,
Robert, top fan on Facebook. Thank you, Robert. You're the man. We appreciate it. Two thoughts. Oh. One, Buddy is quickly becoming a straight-up weapon. Absolutely. I think we hit that, and that's fair.
Yep.
Two, how the hell has BC won 9 games? You know what? That is a very legit question, Robert. And I would just like to point out, and this is totally unrelated, but Robert is a Raiders fan. So, you know, fellow Raider Nation buddy. That's just...
Oh, okay. So. Yeah,
the profile
nice.
Picture gives it away.
Yeah,
so
well, we just hit up the Buddy thing, right? But
yeah, but the 9 wins for BC,
dude. It's college basketball.
Yeah, I know. Well, the UVA one's lose, the UVA one's the tricky one, right?
Well, but either way, you can say Clemson just beat Duke. So
yeah, I know, but Clemson is better, I think, than what people are giving them credit for.
Alabama just beat Auburn last night. Auburn was undefeated. They were 5th.
Okay.
Like, you can't win them all, right? So that's what happens when you play in these major conferences. You know, we're not Gonzaga, where the toughest team we play every year is St. Mary's. It's a situation where you play tough teams, day in and day out in the ACC. And realistically, you go look at the ACC standings, and it'll tell you everything that you need to know.
Yeah,
because we're 3-3, right?
Yeah, and we're tied for fifth, right?
There's only four teams that got a better right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, if we beat Virginia Tech, then we'll be tied with them. So again, right, there's three teams that are 5-1.
Right. Yeah. So you got Duke, UVA, Virginia Tech, and
Duke, Florida State, Louisville.
Oh, Duke, Florida State, Louisville.
All 5-1.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Virginia Tech's 4-2. Virginia's 3-3.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. This next game, and we'll get into it here in a second. We'll talk about it. Let's see. Brandon on Facebook, not a top fan. That's disappointing because I see Brandon all the time. So it makes me wonder how Facebook does this. How do they even do it? It's a true possibility that we've officially seen this team turn the corner. We are combined 5 points in losses away from being 5-1. Very good stuff we are seeing. Yeah, those two games against Notre Dame and Virginia Tech the first time were combined 5 points, 4 against Virginia Tech and 1 against Notre Dame. So,
right.
But you know what, though? And ifs, buts, or candy nuts, we all have a Merry Christmas. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we're that close to being 5-1. It goes to show that we're, you know, at the beginning, if you would have told me halfway through non-conference play that we'd be where we're at right now, I probably wouldn't believe it. So, you know, it just goes with the improvement. And maybe they have turned a corner, but again, consistency. I don't like to get over my skis on those types of things, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, again, I think that's all going to go back to looking at who we've played at the end of the day. I think that that's going to play a big part in considering what are bad losses, what are bad wins, and everything like that. So, again, I don't really think that we've had too many bad losses, if any. And, again, obviously you need to have good wins to kind of outdo that. You have to have some type of good winning percentage to make the tournament. But, yeah, I mean, we're that close. And sometimes that's 1 point here, 1 point there, and you don't make the tournament. So,
Let's see. Daryl, top fan. Thank you, Daryl. Great win. 3-3 in conference play. One game at a time. Defense looks good. Defense is getting better, I believe. That's a great point. Nice to get a home win. I believe that's our first conference win at home. Go Cuse. I think he's right. That is our first conference win at home.
Yes. Yep. I think we got to put things in perspective here.
Okay.
Like I said, I want to be the devil's advocate of it or whatever, okay, but defense is going to look good when you're playing against offenses like Boston College and Virginia.
Well, so that's very true. Yes, absolutely. Fair point.
Saturday will be the test.
Well, Saturday will be the test, but they played them. Let's just go back to that game real quick before we get into it again. They played them pretty good. It's close.
Oh, yeah, they played them good. Right.
Yeah. So we're going back. Before the Notre Dame game is the one where Notre Dame scored 89 points or something like that. So.
Right.
It's been three games in a row. They've been decent. Not just the two.
But Virginia Tech, you have to understand. I mean, we had their leading scorer had probably his worst game of the season.
True.
And
yeah, he did.
Then they had this guy Cohn come out and
And Cohn's a rising star too, by the way. I don't know.
He just hit 15 points against Wake Forest last night. So
Yep. One more. Steve, top fan on Facebook. Thank you, Steve. Finally, slow start again, but not going. Finally, slow start again, but not going. I don't know. Shots fell, drives to the basket, finished, rebounded well. Washington provided some good time and stability. Keep rolling. Absolutely. Yeah, Washington did good. Everybody loves Washington out there, and everybody loves when Washington does good when he's out there because everybody's rooting for him. It's like, you know, I don't want to say it's like Robert Braswell. It's a little bit different because he's been on our team for a little bit longer, and we know who he is and what he's been through. But he did good. He got the ball stolen from him. He took it right back. Unlike Sidibe, where he steals the ball and then he gives it away. So it is what he does, right?
Well, he gives kind of, I mean, obviously he's got the story, but I think every fan wants to see any player that goes in there play good, right? But
what I'm saying.
But I understand what you're saying, right? Because he's got the story, the backstory, of course.
Yeah.
But when I look at it, even Guerriere at this point, Sidibe, anyone else that we really bring off the bench, it makes me a little nervous sometimes, right? So, I mean, Howard Washington's really that only guy that comes off the bench that kind of gives you that kind of experience kind of calming feeling. You know what I mean? I'm not really worried about him. I don't think he's going to do anything crazy or amazing.
No, he's very reserved. He's very reserved. He's careful.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he kind of – he controls it. Doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Makes the right passes. Yeah, I think he helps get the ball to people that need to get the ball in certain positions to score.
Yeah.
And I think he's pretty – he's sneaky good on defense. But
– Yeah, he's a scrapper.
You know, so that's what I like about him. So when his knees are good and he can come and he can play, he just kind of brings that one guy that comes off the bench if Joe or if Buddy aren't playing good or they're in foul trouble – that he can come in and kind of – he still gives you that calming kind of like, okay, well, he's on the bench. He's not going to score that much, do anything crazy, but he's not going to make too many mistakes either. So,
to your point, three assists and three steals. So that's
– there you go. The little things, man.
Right, exactly. So, all right. All right, for the second time in 11 days, the Orange will face off against the 13-4, 4-2 in the ACC Hokies. Syracuse will travel to Virginia once again to see if they can even up the score on Virginia Tech. The last meeting on January 7th was a 67-63 victory for the Hokies in a pretty evenly matched game. I mean... when you look back at it and you look at the stats, 34-33, we won the rebounding battle, the turnover battle, we won by two. The Orange were able to keep freshman star, the aforementioned Landers Nolley. Joe hit that the second, held him in check. The problem was we got killed by Jalen Combe coming off the bench, and he scored 19 points against us. He just lit it up. 2 4-point plays. Virginia Tech's net ranking is up to 34 now. That'll make this a quad one game for Syracuse at Virginia Tech. So, Joe, we kind of know who they are. So, you know, we lost the last game. Let's shift our focus into what a winning strategy will look like in Blacksburg.
Well, again, I think it comes down to stopping their playmakers and who they have. Now, we did, like you said, Landers Nolley stopped them good, but obviously we had Rando, Jalen Combe. Well, he's not going to sneak up on us anymore because since he's played us, he scored, 10 points, I believe, against NC State, and then I think he just had 15 against Wake Forest the other night when they won at Wake Forest. So he's becoming a guy that averages double digits off the bench, and I think that kind of all started with us, and he's not going to sneak up on us. And the way that we play defense and the way that you've seen these wings come up and kind of close out on these shooters, I think it's allowing our two guards to go out a little bit higher than normal. And really, that's what it is. We talked about it. Virginia Tech, they're not that big. We should be able to still get the reboundings and, you know, beat them in as far as rebounds. And again, it just comes down to whether or not those guys are going to be able to miss or whether they're going to hit the 3-point shots. They're a physical team. They try to get it down low. They go to the line. I think they went with line 21 times against us, 21 times against their win at home against NC State. They went on the line 29 times against Wake Forest this past game, and since we've played them, Tyrese Radford and Landers Nolley have pretty much carried them. They had, I think, 49 points combined against Wake Forest. They each had 21 against NC State, and those two and Cone were the only three in double digits against NC State. So we know who their weapons are. They got some other guys that can hit some shots from time to time, PJ Horn, Aline, but for the most part, we can't let those three beat us. And again, Tyrese Radford is that 6'2", 6'3 guard that is just physical down low. He figures out ways to get rebounds. And that's really what we have to look forward to. I think the one thing is how does our offense play better? Because I don't think it was our defense, right? I mean, they did miss some open shots. And I think that we will be a little bit better at closing out shooters, especially since we have a whole game tape. So we can probably come up with a better game plan against the younger team, but I think the game is going to be where can we get better on offense.
Yeah.
You know, Mark's going to have to step up. There's going to be other guys that need to step up, right? So, yeah. I mean, I think we talked about that,
time,
right?
Mark last time, 6 rebounds, 6 points.
Right.
He was, you know, he made some, created a more than one bad foul. The one was one of the Jalen Cohen 4-point plays, but he was just all over the place. This was the game, if you remember, when we did the post game, we were saying, you know, he just needs to calm down right. a little bit. Yeah. And he's actually done that the past two games. I know it's kind of a different animal, but he if he could play this game, you know, he's so much better when he's a little bit more calm.
Right.
And he shouldn't feel like he needs to do a ton, but like you said in the post game for Virginia Tech, he needs to realize that we need him. So to balance, and to have that balance, that's where he's the best. That's where he plays his best game.
Right. And I mean, you're talking, he's had double doubles. He had the double-double against Notre Dame. Yeah, he had a double-double after Virginia Tech, right? So he should be averaging a double-double every game, right? And that's where we got to go. I think that what we talked about, we saw against Boston College. We saw a guy that knew that we needed his presence down low.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And you saw that against Boston College, right? And realistically, if you look at our game plan against Virginia Tech the first time, if we just don't foul three-point shooters, we win that game.
Exactly, yeah.
So,
well
it
was only 2 points fouling them. Because Jalen Cohen made both of those shots, so he got an and one on each.
Yeah, but did we not foul somebody who missed and had three shots?
Gerard did. Yeah, you're right.
Right. So that was 5 points.
You're right.
So, and realistically, we have a more experienced coach. We have guys that I think are starting to buy into the game plans and understanding what their strengths and what their weaknesses are, what their roles are. And that can take a little bit longer with a younger team, adjusting to the refs, adjusting to the other team. And I think that we've seen that get better. And this team is a better scoring team than Virginia. They're a better scoring team than Boston College, but they still have the same type of height that Boston College had last night. And
a little bit shorter though, too, right?
A little bit shorter, unless they bring in the 6'10" freshman senior that played there a little bit.
And like Jalen Cohen, he uses every bit of his 5'10" frame to just be an animal. I mean, you get those guys, but
right. I mean, they're a good 3-point shooting team. We talked about it. They made play 10 really good defense, right? And then they shoot a lot of threes, and then they try to take it to the lane and go and get free throws. Right. I mean, they last three games they had. What, 21, 21, 29? I don't know the average off the top of my head, but it's probably around 24, 23. So, again, it's just that. It's limiting their free throws, limiting, obviously, their wide open, undefended three-point shots, right?
Close out.
And then it's,
right.
Right. And then it's just, again, the little things, the rebounding and stuff like that. I mean, realistically, sometimes turnovers don't matter depending on what it turns into. I mean, we had more turnovers than Boston College. You wouldn't have known it, but we had 15 to their 11. It's just, what did they do with our 15 turnovers? Probably turned it right back over. So, right. or they just missed a shot. So that's really what you're looking at. You were looking at a really, really close matched game in a situation where neither team really knew too much about each other, and it's more or less kind of going to go to the coaches, I think, on this one. And I just think that we have a team that's starting to understand the roles and starting to understand the adjustments they need to make and following the game plan and having the confidence. And if Mark can come out with the confidence that he did this past game and stay out of foul trouble, then he might be able to go to Virginia and get another W.
Yeah. And that was going to be my final point. Look, they made 10 3-pointers against us last time, and they only made 11 other shots inside 2-point range. So,
right.
If Dolezal can play smart and he can do what he's been doing and kind of just not fly around like a lunatic and save those fouls, that's key, I think, for me. I just don't think he was on his game. I felt like he was trying to do too much last time. So, Joe G's 3 points and his prediction coming up in the next post. So, I mean, you get a good idea, but we'll lay out all the stats for you. And
just another thing real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
A lot of things that I really look at too with this is, you know, you talked about the NCAA, the net rankings. A lot of the net rankings comes down to wins. I mean, they do a lot of that kind of stuff. And I love Ken Pom, right?
Yep.
So, and he has the analytics and he throws all the adjustments and the offense and defense stuff like that. I mean, right now, based upon, you know, our offense is, efficiency. I mean, we're top 35 offensive efficiency team right now.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy considering how we're a jump shooting team, right, and everything like that. But when you look at the rankings on KenPom, that he has Virginia Tech at 50 and he has us at 53.
Okay.
So I just look at it like, unless they just show up and just shoot the damn roof off,
it's going to be another cardiac cues game if I had to put my money on it.
Yeah, I would. Yep. I said the same thing about Boston College.
It's
though,
just,
but.
Yeah, I know. But this is so much more evenly matched than Boston College.
Right.
No one. I mean, obviously hindsight, but this is way more evenly matched, way more even matchup. So, and look,
Mark.
You know, we're playing in Virginia Tech. James Zuba just raided the ACC places, the venues, and Castle Coliseum landed at 1,427th in the ACC. So there's that, you know. So
really?
Yeah.
No. So,
seems legit.
That's interesting.
Seems legit.
Yeah. Seems pretty legit. Yeah.
So
that's going to be the matchup, dude. Matchup is Mark and Landers, bro.
Yep.
Mark and Landers. If Mark can take advantage, because Landers, last time he checked him and he had a steal, kind of, I think his athleticism kind of bogged him down, right? If Mark can play smart and he can get some offensive foul, or like some fouls like he did on Stephon Mitchell against Boston College early.
Yeah,
kind of get him off his back a little bit, then that will go miles, because then either they have to move him out of there, and then they have a mismatch with Mark because Landers, they can't guard him, they can't put him on him, or it just gets him in foul trouble, and maybe that can kind of go over to his offense. So that's the matchup I'm looking at, but it's going to be interesting for sure.
Me too. I wish I had something different than you had, but that's pretty much it. All right, so I want to thank my bookie, obviously. If you go to mybookie.ag right now, they'll double your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000. So thank you to them. Thank you to everybody who is, listening, rate, review, subscribe, if you would. We appreciate that. Everybody who participated in fan feedback. I want to thank all of them. Special shout out to, you know, there's always great people on social media, and it's basketball season, so I'm on there more, and I'm coming, you know, I'm just on there more. I'm usually, like, football season, I'm on, like, once a week during the game, after the game, and then that's it. But basketball season's a little bit different. I'm on there more. I want to give a special shout-out to Tony at Cuse Waterboy. He's got a Facebook group, the Cuse Water Cooler.
Cuse Water Coolers.
2.0 right now, right? And he gave us a shout out. He is one of the guys on social media that really like promotes our stuff, and it means a lot to us. I know a lot of you do it, and word of mouth is the biggest thing. But I just I think it's, you know, probably
it's awesome.
He's probably one of the ones that like is posting stuff in groups and stuff for us. So anyway, we appreciate it. So that's it. Thanks to James on guitar. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.